Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. And then we also have our good buddy, Pat Giannetti. Hey, Pat, pull up a stool, buddy.
Thanks, guys. How we doing tonight?
We're doing wonderful. We have you on the show, Pat. How much better can it get?
You know what? You're already buttering me up. Don't worry. I'll pay the tab. Don't worry.
That's okay. With all the mispronunciations that me and him do, did I at least say your name right?
Yes, you got it right on. So you're one for one already.
It's better than the way I was saying Pepper the other day.
Moving right along.
Come on, that was fun. I had too many. I didn't even have a Peroni that night. See, that was the problem. So I wanted to tell you guys, I'm sorry that I was late for getting you on the show, and this is how podcasting goes. But as soon as I fire up the computer, Presley decides to run up the steps. First, he wants to go out. Then he's screaming to come back in. He runs up the steps and dives in the middle of my wife's bed, and she's wrapping all of our packages. And you want to talk about going off the reservation, as Dennis said. It wasn't pretty. And then the outside cats that became inside cats because we don't want them out in the cold, they decide they want to go out. So it's like, I have my own children over here, guys.
Yeah.
Did you see the demon eyes of Presley in the picture I put on Twitter?
I did see that earlier today.
They're his normal eyes. They don't ever change. That was not the camera that did that.
That's what I was going to say. It looks like the Satan eyes or something, you know?
Oh, man. He's a piece of work. So we have our buddy Pat Giannetti on, and what we're going to do tonight, we're going to have some fun. We're going to give him the Disney six-pack. We're going to talk about Christmas time at Walt Disney World, ask him if he's ever been down. We'll discuss that, talk about me and Den wanting to go back down, and then we're going to talk about his new podcast, the Mickey Dudes podcast. And when's that going to start, Pat?
We're practicing some shows right now, and we're putting a few things together. We're hoping to drop our first show middle to end of January. We're just really trying to get the kinks out. So, you know, instead of putting out a show that kind of isn't what a good quality show, first, you know, per se.
So you don't want a show like ours.
No, we want to emulate your show and make sure it sounds as good as yours. And that's the idea. So we're going to practice as much as we can. Yeah.
He's trying to get us to buy back now, then have drinks in the house.
I see his ways, but no, that's pretty exciting, Pat. I mean, you've guested on our show a few times and filled in for me while I was away, and you're doing a nice job. So I'm looking forward to hear you and your new colleagues over on the the Mickey Dudes podcast, right?
The Mickey Dudes.
Yeah.
Is there going to be any dudettes or all dudes?
They're all dudes. The idea is we got about eight or nine guys together.
Sitting in the bar talking Disney?
It's pretty much a large version of what you guys are doing. We're just ripping you off. That's all.
Okay, that's cool.
That happens all the time in the podcast world, so you'll fit right in.
That's what do they say? That's flattery, right?
Right. Thievery is the biggest form of flattery or something like that.
But it sounds like a lot of fun. So what's the different backgrounds of everybody?
Well, it's funny. We're all about in our 30s-ish. You know, we have a couple younger, a couple older. We're all, you know, it's either singles. We have a couple dads. We have a runner. We have a guy from Scotland, so we have a European perspective. We have ex-military. So we have, you know, people from the Midwest, the Northeast, a couple locals down in Florida. So I really think we got the full gamut of perspectives of all things Disney. And I think one of the big advantages of having so many different guys that we could just pull from different perspectives, and different guys are going to be down there at certain times of year. We'll be periscoping a whole lot, trying to get every event that we can up on Periscope and either onto a show for a live report. You know, we'll be able to do stuff with the news because people will be able to be down there for it. I know one of the guys that we're doing it, he's going to be down there for Marathon Weekend, doing a lot of periscoping because we already have a Periscope page or account with the Mickey dudes. If you guys just look that up, you'll find us on Periscope. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we got, a lot of exciting things hopefully coming out.
Now, do you run at all? Are you interested in the marathons at all?
I run to the fridge when I need a beer. I run for my wife when she's yelling at me, and that's about all I run.
Well, you kind of remind me of myself. Like, I've always been an athlete. I played football, basketball, baseball, a little bit of hockey. But yeah, if it doesn't have a ball or a goal, I just don't want to run. My high school track coach tried to get me on the team because I was really fast, but I could never stay interested in it. I just can't run if there's not a means to an end.
Well, have you ever looked, as you're driving along, you see the people running on the road. Have you ever seen somebody smiling while they're running?
No, not really.
They look miserable. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that. So no. I would love all the medals you get from, you know, the marathons, things like that, but I just couldn't do it.
My wife's going to end up doing it. You have any interest at all, Dan?
No.
Did you ever?
I mean, I played sports, same as you, all the way up and through high school. I played hockey. I played baseball, football, everything. But I mean, even Mike Rahman, he's probably the exception to the rule. I mean, he used to have the same opinion as you share, Doug and Pat and myself. You know, he wasn't interested in it. But once he did it and he got into it, you see him now. He's a madman as far as running goes. So, you know, I don't know if maybe once you try it and get into it. I mean, I think the Disney connection is what did it for him. I mean, I know he does other marathons and stuff now, but I think initially it was the draw of Disney and the camaraderie and all that. But to answer your question, Doug, I don't see myself doing that. I thought about maybe doing the 5K just to get the medal.
Yeah,
just to experience it. And I mean, from what I hear, you can pretty much fast walk it. And
Lou Mangiello made it, so I know we can.
Yeah, right. But he did swear he'd never do another one, so I guess he learned his lesson. But the fast walk it, or, you know, jog in between or something. I don't know. That might be a bucket list thing to do in the near future.
Well, my wife, she runs on the treadmill all the time, so I'd probably do it with her if we move down there, because she wants to do one when she does get down there, or a couple of them, which I'll root her on the sidelines. I'll sit there with my margarita screaming for her.
Right.
You know, and then she could scream for me at the retirement softball game when I'm ready to play that. But I just can't. I would do it for her, but she'll get on that treadmill and run for an hour. I look at her and I'm tired.
I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, we have a treadmill here and I've used it sparingly, but I have used it. And the biggest thing is trying to stay not bored. I mean, you know, I've tried watching TV and reading and, you know, listening to the iPod, but inevitably it just gets so darn boring that I give up on it.
I'd rather walk outside. You just got to worry about people like you. What happened to him? He had a pit bull attack him last week, Pat.
Oh, geez, that's horrible.
Yeah. I was walking around my a couple of neighborhoods over, and it was dark out right after work, and I had my headphones on listening to my iPod, and all of a sudden I was on the ground looking up, and I didn't know what happened, obviously, and then I looked up, and there was a pit bull attacking my
Pluto.
Coonhound. Luckily, one of the kids from the house that the dog was loose at ran over and restrained the pit bull, or their dog, you know, same difference. But luckily he did that and somebody was home, because if not, he was just ready to chomp on my dog and probably me if I tried to stop him. So I was lucky. Yeah, luckily no skin was broken on either myself or my dog, but it was a pretty traumatic experience, to say the least.
No.
That's intense. That's for sure.
It's sad, and we talk about it all the time. Like, I enjoy walking my dog, but you got to worry about everybody. Please, if you can't control your dog, please double check it. Make sure, like, you'll have some women, and I'm not trying to be sexist, and small guys, don't walk a Rottweiler that you look at them, and you know if that dog decides to run, nobody's stopping it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Pat? There's certain, oh, yeah. you're like my dog. I won't let my wife walk my dog. He would drag her down the street like Linus and behind the, you know, on the leash. She couldn't hold
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I have a German Shepherd, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Our dog is trained. If we take it for a walk, you know, we make sure, you know, she does the right things. We have an electric fence around the house, you know, in two different zones. So she's highly trained too, because if not, you never know. You know, dogs could. They could snap just very easily, just from the smallest thing.
The key word, they are an animal.
Right, exactly.
Like, I know Mayan's an idiot. I love him to pieces, but when I put him out in the backyard, I make sure that I watch him. Because he's always in the house, because I've told the story. He ran right through my fence.
Mm-hmm.
He's insane. But, you know, Denny's okay, thank goodness. But
yes,
exactly.
Talking about the walking part, I'd rather walk than go on the treadmill myself. I have to have something going on. There has to be something happening. So I think at Disney World, though, it would motivate me to get behind the scenes to see some of the things that you get to see as a runner.
And that's one of the guys that is going to do the Mickey Dudes with us. Like I said, he's a runner, and that's the thing he said was very cool, the different courses that they take and the different things that you get to see. That would interest me. I could, like Dennis said before, a bucket list. I may do a 5K,
mm-hmm.
But I don't see myself doing much more than that. I just don't think I could do it.
They had one years ago that was and I don't know if they have it anymore. It was a scavenger hunt that went through the Animal Kingdom that you ran, and you had to get to certain parts of the park and find certain things. Now I could get into that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I'd be climbing the Tree of Life if they put something in there. I'd be into that, but just
yeah.
to run.
And, I mean, the Disney races, too. I mean, they do have at every mile marker, they usually have a character where you can take a picture, or sometimes they have a little band or, you know, something Disney-related. So, again, if you are running a longer race, psychologically, you're just looking to get to that next mile marker to see what they're going to have, or, you know what I mean? It's kind of a diversion. So I think that kind of helps, especially the hardcore Disney fans. It helps pull them along.
So you're 100% right, and the thing of it is I think if me, you, and Pat do it, we'll bring a football with us.
Yeah, we'll yeah, that might work.
We'll throw the football around. I think it'll work perfectly.
Exactly.
You know, have the wife stand at each mile with some Mickey bars and Dole Whip in their pocket. We'll be okay.
Right.
So are you going to have like a news format? Is it just going to be like off the cuff topics? Do you have any idea what kind of show you're going for?
We're going to have probably four or five guys on every week, do a show a week, and we're going to try to do some news, but the idea was smaller portions news and then other things like different kind of topics, things that we like, different perspectives, like I was saying before, from like the guy's perspective, which I know a lot of shows are out there with that perspective, but we have so many different perspectives that we may be able to add just something else that somebody may not have thought of. Because we have so many things, like we talk all the time, like we constantly are online together, just throwing ideas at each other so we can, you know, use it for a future show. We'll do like top 10 lists, things of that nature where, you know, like we dropped our practice one the other day, like our must do's in Epcot or our must do's in Magic Kingdom. You know, there's 1,000 different episodes. We're going to try to get some guests on, hint, hint, you know, just saying.
We don't want to drop your ratings.
Yeah, so you know it's gonna be a similar format to others that have, you know, other podcasts are out there. But I really think the podcast world right now, especially for Disney, it's just there's only certain ways you can do it. You know, we'll add our own little flair. We have a few surprises up our sleeves. Just can't, you know, let you in on that just yet. So
I came up with an idea too that I already spoke to a couple guys about. My buddy Aaron that I just booked his trip. He's one of our followers. I'm putting you guys on the spot now. What I want to do next year, know how ESPN runs, which is Disney, they run the Free Fantasy Football League?
Yes.
I want to run the Main Street Fantasy Football League. I want to have you in. I want Dennis in, Aaron, John Peters, Bob Sykon, and we'll announce the winners each week on the show and talk about who did what. I think it'll be a lot of fun and some good content. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, Sounds good to me. Everybody seems to be in the drafts and fantasy sports these days. So to put a Disney spin on it and do something like that, that would be interesting, I think.
Are you in, Pat?
Yeah, wait, let me see. Fantasy draft. Okay, I'm writing this down right now.
Disney.
I never heard it from you guys. I'm
right.
Just saying. Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I'm
just we'll get like 8 or 10 of us, have our own little little Main Street Football League, and then this way we could break each other's stones back and forth on the show. I could say Pat really had a bad week. Can you believe that idiot started so and so? And it'll be a lot of fun.
We're going to go back and forth on Twitter and everything. Oh, yeah, I could see this going. This is going to be good, yeah.
I think it'll be not for any money, anything, just pride. It'll be the Main Street pride, if you follow.
Yep.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Agreed.
So I'm looking forward to it. So it's all Christmas time, and Merry Christmas to both of you guys. And
Likewise.
Same to you.
I seen you in Peas and Carrots, our good friend Carmen. You were talking to her about going down at Christmas time, and I've always told everybody my favorite time is the first or second week of December is the times that I've been down there. Because they're festive, but nobody's taking their kids out of school right after Thanksgiving or right before Christmas.
Right.
So you get that little break there, but you get everything. Now, Pat, have you ever been down during Christmas?
I was there 13, 14 years ago, the week, right the day after Christmas, the 26th through New Year's. So stuff's a little fuzzy and foggy, but what I do definitely remember is the decorations and the festive mood and the people. There was a lot of people.
Oh, especially the 20th. That week that you were there, the week that's New Year's week. That's like crazy time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the reason I started well, you know this, Doug, but I'll say it for the sake of our listeners and Pat.
And I missed a lot of it, too, so fill me in.
Well, how I got talking to Carmen today was I happened to jump in. She was talking to Joe Taviv, I forget how you say his name. But anyways, I misunderstood what they were saying. They were saying that going for the holidays, that the room rates were double the price, and I just tweeted back saying, oh, boy. We're planning on going for a family trip next you know holiday season.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true. And that's when they started saying no. We said that you know the highest prices are that week that you just spoke of, the one that Pat went. You know that week between Christmas and New Year's, it's like max cost and max people there. So I the reason I started talking this up with my family, you know this, Doug, because you've been advising me to do it. We've never gone for Christmas because we fell in love with food and wine so much. We always do our family trip, October-ish, anywhere from the 1st of October to, maybe the first week of November at the latest. So we've found it hard both financially and, getting away from
work and
all that.
To do two trips that close.
Yeah, back-to-back like that. So we've always foregone the Christmas trip because, like I said, because we just got hooked on food and wine. But next year, I guess this is going to be the year of the bucket list for the Conroy family because, we decided we would forego the fall trip, at least the fall family trip, and do the holidays.
Unless me and you take one.
Right. I mean, a long weekend may be in the cards for either food and wine or at some point between now and next Christmas. But even if that doesn't happen, I'm going to, it's been many, many years since I haven't gone at least twice in a 12-month period, so it's going to be difficult for me. But I think the sacrifice will be worth it to see the beautiful decorations and all that Disney World has to offer at that time of the year.
When I can tell you, the 40-some times I've been down there, the best two times was Christmas time.
Right.
And I'm telling you, you'll love food and wine. I love food and wine the whole nine yards. I know you'll miss it. But the thing of it is all the stuff that they have for Christmas will totally make you forget about food and wine.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping, yeah.
Well, just the Santa Clauses around the world and the festival that goes around World Showcase to show you how every country celebrates Christmas and New Year and all the extra stuff, the offerings that they have for Christmas time. And then not just that, now with Disney Springs, with all the extra restaurants and now with Skipper's Canteen, there's so many more things, places to eat, then I don't think you're going to miss the food that much.
No, and I don't think I will. I mean, mean, when I say I miss food and wine, I mean, yeah, the food's good, but I mean, it's the atmosphere too, and just what the presentation is. But
I'd imagine if Santa Claus was there for food and wine. That's how much better it is.
Well, and the other thing too is, you know, I've probably watched a candlelight processional like 10, 12 hours in my lifetime. I mean, I've watched it so much on YouTube, I feel like I've been there, but I haven't been there to see it live, and I'm sure it's, you know, 10 times better seeing it in person. So
when the doves take off, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and they come back in the snow, and it's just beautiful. It just, and especially being there with your family, like I could still close my eyes and see me and my wife on one side and my mother-in-law on the other. It was like, and I'll never forget that.
Right.
You know, seeing it with Brian Dennehy with my mother-in-law, that's the time she was down there. And that was beautiful, going to get the girls drinks and like the whole atmosphere. And the other thing then is the weather. You get to experience a little bit of chill in the air, but it's still not cold.
Right, right.
You know, like food and wine can still be hot for like you. I know the heat gets to you a little bit sometimes at that time of the year. It don't get to you at Christmas time.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. In October, you can still have what we would consider summer weather back home, and the humidity can be, you know, Florida humid at that time of year. So that would be a good change.
Oh, absolutely. You're nonstop. And do you like it down there in the wintertime at all? Have you been down much, Pat?
That was the only time, but I do remember the weather. I did enjoy it. I remember I wore a light jacket. It was very. It was actually, funny thing is, it's kind of like the weather here right now, 70 degrees, 60 degrees.
Exactly, you know, and then chilly at night.
Yeah, exactly, and it was very nice. You know, I would take that anytime. You know, because we always go in August. That's the time, you know, we have off. So it's always 1,000 degrees. So
yeah, around my birthday, I've been there.
Yeah.
No. And the thing of it is you get to wear the John Peters uniform, hoodie with shorts.
Yes, and that's my favorite uniform. I'm kind of jealous he gets to wear that all the time. So.
Yes, it is. It's a thing, ain't it? It's perfect. Yeah. And but I was down there a couple times we've been down there quite a bit in the winter because we don't have kids and the jobs that we have, we've always 80% of our trips to Disney World have been off peak time. It's when all you knuckleheads aren't there. But it's so nice in some ways to have a 40 or 50 degree night to roam the parks because it's a totally different atmosphere, and you're not slowing down. You're like the chill makes you want to go, if that makes sense.
No, it does, definitely.
Oh yeah, the heat knocks the out of you. So I mean, the fact that that's one less thing that's, you know, holding you back from experiencing as much as you can, that's a definite benefit. I mean, I have been there many times over February vacation when the kids were small, and we did experience, you know, cooler, colder weather where we needed sweatshirts and stuff. So, I have experienced that aspect of it. And you're right, it's a lot different than, you know, dealing with that hot sun. You know, and especially the humidity, just draining the energy right out of you, you know? It's just one thing you don't have to worry about.
And the other thing that's cool, too, with it's the only time at a it's the only week of the year that I enjoy the daylight savings. Because I hate it here when the clocks go back.
Right.
But down there, it's cool when they have extra magic hours and stuff, because I think I like the parks better at night with all the lights and everything on. I like the nighttime in the parks.
So you'd rather have extra hours with the, you know, in darkness than daylight is what you're saying.
Exactly, especially around Christmas time and all, because that's the whole celebration, seeing the lights.
Right.
So you get to experience that a little bit more. And it was so weird, too, of having your wife and the kids, like the godson and all, dragging you into the stores to get some heat.
Right.
It was, like, totally different. Usually you're all running in to get the air conditioned. They're all warming up. Got any hat, gloves?
Right.
You could know how they bring out the Mickey ponchos when it's raining out.
Right.
When you're there in the wintertime, they put the sweatshirts and the gloves. They have Mickey gloves. They have these gloves that look like Mickey hands. They go right to the front of the door like the ponchos do.
Oh yeah, they're no dummies.
Yeah.
No.
They'll make a buck on anything. But I mean, I can remember being at Wolfgang Puck's, not the one on the by the Pin Traders, but up on the other side. And many a time, well, I'm not gonna say many times, but a couple of times when we were down there in February, they have those you know, those propane heaters they put out on the patios, like they look like big lamps.
I am proud to say they did the same thing for me at the Rose and Crown, baby, watching Illuminations.
Yeah, but I would
imagine. They have the same ones out there.
Yeah, I would imagine they use them quite a bit because we were kind of wondering. They said, oh, do you mind sitting out here? And we said, oh, it's kind of cold. And they said, oh, no problem. And they wheeled one of those things over, so we had a little private heater while we were eating dinner out there.
They work good, too. They work. They have like a big roof on them, too,
yes.
Like a lid on the top.
Yep, exactly.
Do you guys use them on the football field, Pat?
No, we just sit in the cold. That's all we do.
You guys don't. You ain't at Division 1A with all the heated seats and all that stuff, buddy.
Yeah, we kind of need that. I wish.
It ain't happening though. You need to. No. You need to get one of those. What is it called? What's the name of that?
They use the salamanders, don't they? With the like the gun on it, with the propane gun, and they shoot the. The heat out? No, that's not what you
Not want. At the high schools, they won't let you.
Well, they used to. I'm talking back in the day. You're right. They probably won't allow that now.
Now, what do they call? What's that program where you fund money?
The GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
You need to get one of those accounts, Pat, to get the heated seats for the school.
That'd be perfect. I'll take it.
No. Yeah, go set up a GoFundMe account for you guys to get some heated seats on the bench.
That'd be perfect. I think we got to win a few more games, though. That would be the problem.
Well, you tell all the parents, especially the rich boosters, that the reason you're not winning is because the kids are cold.
Yeah. They're not limber
That's
enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but do you have any – you're DVC now, Pat, right?
Yes, I am.
And what's your home resort again?
Polynesian.
Oh, I just wanted you to say that out loud, show off. See how elitist he is, Dennis?
Well, he's in my neighborhood. I can't pick on him too much. He's a fellow.
But no, you're over Saratoga. You're still cool, Dan. He's an elitist. He's over there at the. They don't even call it the Polynesian.
Yeah,
we call it the Poly.
Yeah, exactly.
Poly.
I'm at the Poly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you're gonna be staying next door to Thurston and Lovey next week. You're old enough to know that reference, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay, I didn't think you were. I thought he was still a little too young for that then.
No, I love that show. That was a great show.
So when's your next trip down?
We'll be down in April. We are going for 5 days, middle of April.
He was supposed to do a trip report for us then, but I don't think that's happening now.
He's going to save his good stuff for that other show.
Yes. No, that is not true. I will still do a trip report for you because I told you I would do it, and of course I am a man of my word.
You're
okay.
All right.
We'll hold you to it.
You should. You definitely should.
So is there anything that you – what would you be excited about seeing down there at Christmas time? Is there anything special you guys want to see when you do – next year, Dan, what's the biggest thing you're looking for?
I already mentioned the candlelight processional. That's tops on the list. Other than the World Showcase, the Santa Claus is there that you mentioned. Looking forward to getting to the resorts to see all
that's
the
That's what I was going to say. That should be the top one of the tops of the list because of the things that they do have.
I mean, everything I've heard from listening to podcasts all these years that I've been listening to, that usually makes everybody's, top two or three list is if you can take a day and not even go to the parks and just get to all the resorts, which that in itself would be hard to do in one day. But just to see, and we've spoken about this, the gingerbread house and the carousel over at the beach club and all the different offerings. I mean, some of the deluxe resorts have not only a tree and decorations, but they have, other things that are specific to that resort. I know, Doug, you always mentioned, like, over at the Animal Kingdom, their tree is decorated in Animal Kingdom-type decorations with, like, wood carvings and...
Yeah, it's beautiful. It looks a lot of the... It's designed to make it look like most of the ornaments were handmade.
Right, right.
Which is awesome.
Right. So, I mean, I could see us spending a day or maybe do it over 2 days or something like that and really take all that stuff in because, that's part of... That's part of Disney World that we really enjoy, whether it's Christmas time or any other time, is just, taking in all of the sights and smells and sounds and not only around the parks, but in the resorts. And I would imagine at Christmas time, it's even more spectacular than, any other time of the year.
Well, if we head down next year, what I would suggest, what I would like us to do is book maybe one dinner at Jiko or Sanaa.
Okay.
And then maybe go over to the boardwalk and just have, little cheaper side, do Big River Brewing Company or something, right. Late day sandwiches, and then see those two resorts, and then go to Epcot afterwards. So this way, if you got a reason to go over to Wilderness Lodge, because that's the most Christmassy of all the resorts.
Right.
See their tree, the fireplace, maybe have dinner at the Roaring Fork or something. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Yeah.
And then take the boat back up to Contemporary and hop off there. And I mean, you know what I'm saying. And just,
oh, yeah.
And just way we could explore the resorts, but also take in the parks.
Right, right. You kind of, you know, you're not just doing that specifically, but accomplishing other things, whether it be eating or doing some other activity, you're going to get to see these places. So that makes a lot of sense, Doug.
Yeah, because it's a little more festive than, like, World Showcase is gorgeous and all. Rose and Crown, I'd love to eat there on the water, see the Christmas illuminations, which would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more festive, like, being in a lot of the resorts. Like our good friend Pat over at the Poly, to see how they do, you know, the Upper Crest.
Right.
Celebrate Christmas with the whole Hawaiian luau theme, the way, you know, Hawaii celebrates Christmas, which would be awesome.
Right, right.
So what would you look forward to, Pat?
Well, one thing, just really quick with you, what you guys are saying, I think so many people don't take advantage of everything outside of the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree 100% with you. I would love to do just, you know, go to the resorts and see everything that they have to offer, not only just during the holidays, but just any other time. If you just resort hop, you could spend a day just doing that, if not more, and still mm-hmm. have a really good time.
Absolutely. So. That's why I love having to rent a car. That's the only reason, because every trip, I'm at least two or three resorts.
Yep.
Every single trip, besides the one I'm staying at. Like our good friend Aaron, his next trip, and when he's going down in March, he actually took our advice, and he's going to leave the Magic Kingdom at lunchtime and go over to Kona. Instead of fighting the Magic Kingdom, he's going to have a nice lunch at the Poly, and it ought to be nice. You know, but I think that's a great idea. I think more people also should. I know World Showcase has so many offerings, but explore out International Gateway and go over and enjoy, especially at Christmas time. Yacht Beach Club and the Boardwalk are absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you get the boardwalk, the carousel and all that that's set up. The tree at the Yacht and Beach Club is beautiful. Enjoy all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, with the yacht club, I think they do like a nautical theme with all their stuff. And the sky's the limit as far as that goes. And Pat, I mean, when my kids were small, we never did any of that stuff because, you know, the trip is, it's for the kids, really about me, but it is for the kids. but you know what I mean. They tend to want to be in the parks and do the attractions. So, you know, but as we went on and the kids got older, whether they weren't traveling with us or even when they were in that tween age, when they were able to go off by themselves, we would take advantage of doing some of the stuff we just mentioned. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, what your family makeup is at the time that you go. And you know, maybe later on in life or whatever, you'll have more opportunity to do stuff like that.
There's just something so cool and so awesome. And I'll sound corny and all you guys can pick on me. The guys on the construction site will be picking on me tomorrow or when this show's released. But there's something so awesome about holding my beautiful wife's hand and having a hot chocolate in a cold night at Christmas time at Walt Disney World. I mean, it's not an expensive dinner. It's not anything. Just sitting on a bench at World Showcase or sitting on Main Street and drinking a hot chocolate together, because we had a couple. And how cool does that sound?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think you just gave the recipe to many guys out there to how to have a successful date night with your wife. I'm telling you right now, if more guys listen to that, what you just said, there'd be a lot of happy wives out there. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Between me and you guys, I'm actually baking my wife cookies tomorrow for Christmas.
Thank you. Are you in the doghouse?
No, I am not. That's how I stay out of it. With this mouth, I'm in it so much. I got to learn ways to stay out. But you know what I'm saying? They're the little things. It don't have to be the flying fish or, you know, Le Cellier. I mean, just take the time to have, be with each other and enjoy what's going on around you. Be in the moment a little bit. So many people that go to Walt Disney World are not in the moment.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we all can tell our stories. But, you know, if you sit there and people watch, you can see people that, you know, you want to just smack them and just say, what are you doing? I mean, you see parents yelling at kids and kids yelling at parents. And wives at husbands and vice versa. I mean, you know, I know things happen and it's not a perfect world, but I mean, sometimes you just got to wonder, you know, why did you bother even coming here if you're going to be that angry? You know, it's crazy.
Or in that big of a hurry, like me and Brent, our very first year down there, I didn't like Epcot because I didn't take the time to find it. We were like, you're such in that high energy mode trying to get everything done that I tell the guys at work, I tell them, and I have two slogans. Mine for the show is, I've always said, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, because you don't know what you're going to pass.
Right.
Take it in. But on the guys, when I'm running union work, I always tell them, hurry up and get it wrong, idiots.
Right. Yeah. No, but...
You know what I mean, though?
No, you are right, Doug. I mean, and I think everybody has to go to Disney World for the first time. It is the first time they go, but we were all guilty of that. And sometimes it takes some people longer than one or two or three trips to figure that out. And it took me a while, too. I did the same thing. It wasn't about the quality of the time or the quality time that we had in the parks. It was about how much things could we check off the list that we did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, at the end of it, you might have done more than the other family. But if you're exhausted and tired and you didn't really enjoy it and you end up getting in a fight or whatever, well, what was the point? I mean, you know, what fun is that? I'd rather do half as much stuff and enjoy it in small bites and take your time and take it all in. I feel better at the end of the day having toured like that than, you know, going commando style, which I've done before. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that I haven't done that. I absolutely have. But now that I'm a seasoned veteran and I have many, many trips under my belt, I know what I like and how I like to tour. And the fast-paced touring is not for me now.
No. And Pat, like I've said before to my family, and I say to people when I book their trips as a TA, if it's a family of four, how many? You're five, right, Pat?
Six, actually.
Oh, that's right. Holy moly, you're the six-pack.
Yep.
But what I try to tell everybody, so in your case, I'd say have everybody in the family pick two things out that they want to do each day.
Yep.
And if you get that done, then you're ahead of the game, and then just take the rest in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what we did that in August. We actually did that. Pretty similar. We had the kids all pick out two or three things that they just had to do during the week that we were there. And we made sure that we hit all of those things because, you know, like you guys are saying, if, you know, we don't want to be that family that's screaming and yelling and all that. It just, it takes so much away from the trip. And Disney is all about creating those memories. And if you're not going to, you don't want to create the bad memories. You want to create the good memories.
Right. Yeah, because some of the best memories are like with me, my father, my mother-in-law, the one big family trip we did. We're over in Italy, I mean over in France, and statues started to move. And I still remember us all stopping and taking that in for the 20 minutes that they were doing it. You know, just having fun. My dad didn't know it. I put the wheelchair next to the statue, and the statue started messing with him. Yeah, like, I seen it happening, and nobody else did. So I actually took his wheelchair and backed it up next to the statue. And then all of a sudden, he's like freaking out because it's moving. But there are the things. If you're in a hurry, you don't get to enjoy all that.
Right.
Right, exactly.
I mean, imagine if you had fast pass reservations, just say Soarin' or whatever, and you didn't stop to do that, Doug. I mean, you would have enjoyed Soarin', I'm sure, because it's a fantastic ride. But that memory of this, you know, that statue that, you know, it comes alive, if you will. I mean, that's something you're going to have for the rest of your life that you wouldn't have had. So that was a good choice. But, I mean, it takes discipline to do that because a lot of people don't, you know, they won't stop and smell the roses, if you will, or in this case, the statue, because they're too busy. You know, they got to get to that next E-ride attraction or whatever, and it's a shame, I think.
Well, just like I think our show, and Pat, you listen to a lot of them, and we both listen to them. I think we're the only show that really stresses to enjoy the queue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't, half the rides are part of it's the queue, like me. I know Dennis goes nuts over this one, but I use it. Toy Story. And I know you like it, then, but you could do without it in some ways because it ain't your favorite ride.
Right.
You like it, but you don't hate the
I
ride. I'm not
going to
go off.
Yeah.
I'm not going off Frozen Maelstrom with you now. I'm not picking on you.
I love the queue more than the ride.
Exactly. But what I love about the queue, what you're going to love, and you love, Pat, probably, you get to tell your kids about when you played with the Army Men and did Mousetrap. And it just, it invokes conversation. Sitting there with my grandson, me and him were having so much fun, people were pushing us ahead because we were talking about all the stuff.
Yeah, no, and especially how they've made all the queues interactive now. I think it is something that you kind of got to take the time and smell the roses with that.
Exactly, and everybody's in, like, dude, I'm on vacation. I'm not in a hurry. I actually get, like, that's why I enjoy driving down, because I get 17 hours of me and my wife to actually be with each other. We forget about work. We're just driving. It's us two together. It's a good thing. And the same thing in the queue when you're there with your family. Have some fun with each other. Quit pissing and moaning that you're not getting moving fast enough.
Right.
You're at Disney World.
Yep.
Some people can't even afford. They can't get there. They can't go there. Things are going on. You're in a queue to get on one of the best rides. And these, look around and see what these Imagineers did. They didn't just throw a chain link fence up and let you walk through it.
Exactly.
That's what I'll often do when I'm in a queue or I'm in line or I find myself getting frustrated. I just think, what are the guys back at home doing at work today or something like that? And then when I put it in that perspective, I'm good. I'm like, well, no matter what I'm doing here, it's 50 times better than anything they're doing back at work. So that makes me feel better.
Yeah, there's only one queue that is not worth standing in, and that's a soaring queue.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, that one's kind of tough.
I mean, they did have that wave thing. Have you guys ever done that with the two
flap
crowds?
Like a bird and that
thing. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's okay when there's a group of you. Like that time I said when we had like eight of us down there or whatever it was. It was all fun because we're all family getting goofy. Now when it's just you and Brenda or you and your wife, it's kind of not as good.
Right.
Like, Pat, you can act like an idiot because you have the kids with you.
Yeah, exactly. and I normally do, and I try to embarrass them as much as I can because it's the extra added bonus of being the dad.
That's the
absolutely
job, is to embarrass the kids. That's
absolutely
you're doing it right.
The older they get, the more fun it is.
Yep.
You know, I enjoy doing it to my godson. He loves me now. He can't help it. He has to. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is your favorite queue? What do you guys, either one of you, have a favorite queue?
I mean, new one for me is Mine Train. I mean, even though I disagree with some of the offerings they have, I think it keeps you, it draws you into the attraction, and there's always something like around the corner, the way they set it up, whether it be the water feature they have in there or the computers or whatever. So I found myself, I mean, maybe it was because it was so new to me that I, you know, that was part of it. But I don't know, it just seemed like it had a lot going in it. And I think part of it is, because they knew it would have such long lines, they went over, not overboard, but they did an extra good job at making it as entertaining as a queue can be. So that's high on my list. It's a Mine Train.
I think, what, you got one, Pat?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, it's not a ride that I thoroughly enjoy, but the queue for Winnie the Pooh, it's not because of me necessarily, but my I knew that was coming too. But my youngest, we went when he was 3 and when he was 5, he had so much fun in the interactive parts of that. That was, you know, that is a memory that will always stick out to me, with him just playing throughout the queue and just smiling and being happy. And, you know, and that made that queue special to me. So I'll always like that queue for that reason. Plus, you know, there are some fun things that I can do too in there and embarrass the kids as I'm playing with the little kids' toys and stuff. So, you know, it works.
I hear. Now, mine, like I mentioned, Toy Story. The other two that are real, there's a ton that are good, but two others are off the top of my head. I keep trying to tell Dennis to go through the chicken line. You gotta go in and see Tower of Terror's queue, which is awesome. Do you agree with me, Pat?
Yeah, it's a great, great queue.
Yeah, the whole area in there. Just go in and walk out the chicken door, Dan.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list, too. I'm definitely going to do that one. And you always speak highly of Everest, too, right?
Everest is awesome. I mean, Everest,
like
I've said a million...
You like that better than the attraction.
The ride. I go out the chicken door there just to experience and then go home because I don't feel like going on the coaster.
Right.
I get fast passes for that a lot. I used to give them out to kids all the time and parents with fathers and sons. I'd look for kids upset that they couldn't get on again real quick, and I'd handle fast passes. It was like one of those Disney magic things I could do myself.
Yeah.
Right. That I like to do.
But it is true in that queue. I mean, there's so many
artifacts.
But even the little office they got set up, and if you really look at all the stuff, it all relates to the Yeti and, you know, what you're going to experience. And I don't know, it's just cool. Just, you know, the old pictures they have on the walls. I mean, there's so much, and there's a lot of signage in there that you can read. And, you know, it all, if you kind of piece it all together, it all you know, it tells a story. And as much as I've been in that queue and I've looked at a lot of that stuff, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I haven't seen. I mean, another one that pops into my mind is Jungle Cruise. I mean, there's a lot of inside jokes and different things written on the boxes and the packages that are on the dock there. I mean, you know, it's not as elaborate as some of the other ones, but there's a lot of, you know, you got to look up in the overhead there. There's things hanging underneath in the netting and all kinds of stuff that can keep you occupied.
You're 100% right. It's just like Kilimanjaro Safari. I like the queue on that with the little TVs and telling you about what's going on. Don't you really feel like you're getting ready to go on a real savannah?
Oh, yep. Absolutely.
I mean, by the time you get on by the time you're on the Jeep, you're so enthralled. Like you're into the atmosphere now. Okay. You're in the setting by the time you get there with the way that's set up. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
No, and I think one of the things, especially with Kilimanjaro and the Jungle Cruise, I think the background music loops that they play with it just kind of really gets you in the mood. And there's a lot of funny things being said, especially with the Jungle Cruise. I think that's an extra added bonus that I think people don't look for because they're not really paying much attention to that part as well.
Exactly. That's why, like, when you go down at the least crowded times of the year, that's what I love about, even though they're few and far between anymore. But it used to be so cool, like me and like Pirates. I love Pirates is what made me fall in love with Disney World. One, I wouldn't want that smell anywhere else, but when I'm there, it's in my happy place.
Yep.
The smell of that ride and just that whole queue with the playing checkers and going through. It's just, I love it, those little tunnels, don't you guys?
Yep.
Oh,
absolutely.
And you got the cannons there and all the hangings on the wall. They got cannonballs and chains and stuff. And, you know, it splits off at the beginning part there where you can go, you know, two different
ways. Always go left.
Yeah.
Always go left because everybody's right-handed. They always tend to go to the right.
But, I mean, you can get kind of a different view of a couple things if you go, you know, one or the other.
Absolutely.
But again, it's all... it's all themed, and again, there's great background loops there, too, in that attraction that kind of set the scene. I mean, you come from a, you know, out in the sun, and you're in a dungeon and in those little caverns, and by the time you get to the boat, you're believing you're going to be with pirates here soon, and oddly enough, you are.
Yeah, the only other horrible, name another horrible queue would be, it's a small world. That queue. I like the ride, but the queue itself is you just end up looking at the same person every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I always get the miserable person standing right in front of me on that line. Do you know what I'm talking about? How it goes back and forth, and you always look at the same people over and over. You feel like you're annoying each other. Right. Like you feel like they think you're staring at them or something. By the time you get up there, it's like by the time the fourth or fifth time, you like don't know how to look at them anymore.
Right.
You've already said what's up like five different ways. Like where do we go from here, man? Right. It's like an awkward first date or something.
Yep.
So, but. What we're going to do, Pat, is I'm going to have a little fun with you. We're going to give you the Main Street six-pack. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, your favorite resort and why?
Do you really have to ask? Come on. The Poly is my favorite. It's my favorite not just because I happen to be a DVC member there. When I was a kid, you know, I actually stayed at the Disney Inn across the way, which is no longer there, which is now
the Encore.
Yeah, exactly. And all I saw was the Poly across. It's like, oh, I want to get there one day. So finally, now that I'm there, the pool, the atmosphere, the laid back, you know, tropic Hawaiian style, that's all just me. I really enjoy that. I love the beach. I love the food. I love Dole Whips. So the Poly has me written all over it.
Oh, so you can get Dole Whip anytime you want.
Yeah,
show off.
Exactly.
Oh, and you got Trader Sam's now. And you know, you got the Tambu Lounge, which I love. Oh, you got a bay there.
Yep.
Well, his new nickname is going to be King Kamehameha. We're going to have to get him an idol. Remember the idol from the Brady Bunch?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Da-da-da-da. What's going to happen with the little tiki idol?
Yeah.
Okay, favorite park.
Oh, this one's tough. It's the Magic Kingdom for the attractions with the kids. But if it's just me, it's definitely Epcot. You know, I'll take Epcot all day long. I'll take World Showcase doing things over there. I could spend days, weeks there without even thinking twice.
Okay, good call. Favorite ride?
TTA, hands down.
Yes.
That's it.
Brown noser.
Wow. You know, it's just really, you got to go back and you get the history of it. But
no, it's awesome.
It's
man.
Just and then again, it's so much different daytime and nighttime. And I know you guys have said that before, but going through Tomorrowland with the lights on, it just makes it a completely different ride. So which makes it pretty good.
It's going to be awesome. We do the Main Street ride on the TTA one of these days.
It will be.
Oh yeah.
Favorite counter service restaurant, Pat.
Favorite counter service restaurant. Pinocchio Village House.
Nice.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that's the way I like things. It's just I like little weird things, different things that kind of stick out. And we had a couple of good meals there that I liked. I like the atmosphere, things of that nature. If I was going with something else where, Columbia Harbor House is a very close second, especially when you can sit upstairs and kind of just, hang out up there.
No, well, I'd like to call Pinocchio Village. Dennis ate there on the last trip because I reminded him of it. And it was awesome because I go by it sometimes. You forget it's there half the time, and it's like a hidden gem that isn't hidden, really.
Right, exactly.
They had a chicken parm sandwich there that was delicious. I had that, and I will definitely go back for it. It was I hadn't been there in many years, Pat, but we ended up talking about it on a show we did a couple weeks before I went, and Columbia Harbor House, the line was out the door and heading towards the Haunted Mansion, so we were looking for someplace else to duck in there real quick, and we happened to go by Pinocchio's, and in we went, and I'm glad we did.
Yep.
He said, my stupid buddy Doug talked about this joint. I'm going in. He's that idiot of mine. Favorite sit-down meal?
Sanaa, and I know you guys just talked with John Peters, and John didn't have such a good time there.
John just threw a brick through his TV. No.
John, I'm sorry. I really am. But the last time we were there, again, the bread service was fantastic. And then I got a combo platter with a sausage, a lamb chop, and a pork loin, which it was out of this world. We got there early, so the server was – we were the only ones there. So it was actually kind of, I think, worked out better for us, so we didn't have to run into any problems with our server. And then the views are spectacular, and you can't beat it. And the theming is just off the charts.
Well, maybe one. Have you ever stayed there with DVC?
No, we are in April. We're doing a split stay in April. We're actually staying at Kidani Village for half, and then Beach Club for the other half.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that was the thing. I want to see how many we could actually get to and try a whole bunch of different ones. We have the Poly for 50 years, so I have plenty of time to go there.
Yeah, no, that's one of the beautiful things about DVC, and a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, the owners do, but other people that don't own that, just because you have a home resort, that doesn't mean you're confined to it. You can, as long as you can get something at 7 months out, you can stay at any of the DVC resorts.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it there. I've been at the Animal Kingdom a couple times. I love it over there.
Yeah.
And last but not least, your favorite off-the-beaten-path spot, like your go-to spot, like we talked about, Dennis and me talked about behind the Christmas shop on Main Street. I like to walk down from Hollywood Studios back to the Boardwalk. It's one of my favorite. That was my favorite thing. What's your off-the-beaten-path or favorite thing to do down there?
I was just going to say the one you said with that walk, but I'll say the second one is – if you go and get a quick little bite to eat with fish and chips, and then you walk the path down towards behind the Rose and Crown, there's a few little tables there. And I'm not talking about like when you go there for Illuminations, when there's nobody around, that is like the perfect, just the quiet spot that my wife and I love to just sit there, have a little fish and chips, have a beer. And you could see it's such a great view, but it's so quiet because it's just tucked around right around behind the restaurant that not a lot of people are there unless it's for Illumination. So it's a great spot to go to.
That's an awesome one. We like to also go, where the Tea Caddy is directly across?
Yep.
The little gardens there. If you go behind there, there's like a couple, they look like houses, old houses.
Yep.
Me and Brent will grab a drink and go sit on the steps. Mm-hmm. And there's, as long as one of the meet and greets aren't there,
yeah.
usually nobody's in there either, or go back the back way towards Tudor Lane, where if the band isn't playing, it's in pretty good shape. Yep. I'm sorry if I cut you off, Dennis.
No, no, no. I was just going to say, that, you know, where the maze is back there, whether the band's playing or not, there's a lot of nooks and crannies in the United Kingdom Pavilion that, you know, you can get off the beaten path, like you said, and just enjoy the day at Epcot.
Yeah, and another one is behind Canada. When you go back in the behind Canadian Pavilion,
the Niagara Falls.
Yeah, there's nobody ever there. It's funny, but yeah, it's beautiful back there though.
No, there's so many off the beaten path things. That's why I like this question. It kind of brings up, was it different resorts? There's all the same thing. Like, I'm sure there's somewhere at Saratoga, then, where you like to go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Chill for a little bit, and there's a ton of them at Riverside for me. There are a couple of the gazebos, you know, on some of the walkways, you know, there's all little kind of hideout spots, even the sitting spots, like at the, the River Roost. How cool is it in the parlor area there, Dan?
Oh, yeah, you get them overstuffed chairs or the leather couches. They got the, you know, I was enjoying this when we were down there. Even if it's 100 degrees out, they still have the fireplace going, and it gives it that ambiance of, you know, being in a you know, inside in a nice warm place, and it just takes you away. And Riverside is chock full of nooks and crannies that just chill and listen to that background music that's playing all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah, and after Big Daddy stays at the Poly a few times, I'm sure he's going to have a few spots he'll like, won't you, Pat?
Oh, yes. I'm finding a few here and there, but, you know, I got to really dig deep to find a good one. No, I'll have to go a couple more times.
Yeah.
You'll have to suffer through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When you're down there, you could send us some pics to break them on us about where you're hiding at with your Dole Whip.
I will. Most
That'll be the first question. So, Pat, where did you go with your Dole Whip and hang out at the Poly? Pat Kamea.
Yeah, exactly.
So this has been a lot of fun. So, Pat, you want to plug your show again and how everybody can get you guys on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the good things?
Yeah, I absolutely will. Thanks. We are at the Mickey Dudes on Twitter. That's our Twitter handle, Periscope, the Mickey Dudes. We do have a Facebook page. Again, just look up the Mickey Dudes, and you'll find us all there. Like I said, we're going to start our first episode, hopefully, middle of January, late January at the worst. But you know, we'll definitely be out there. We have a big Twitter presence right now. I'm constantly on it with the guys, and we're talking, and we're, you know, sending stuff out. So look up at the Mickey Dudes and check us out.
Yeah, we'll be here next week. So pull up a chair, guys.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I love new podcasts, and now that we've got to know you a little bit, Pat, you know, it's exciting to have one of our guests and one of our listeners going on and doing his own thing. So good luck, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. I'll try to make you too proud.
Okay, I'm sure you'll do a fine job.
We set the bar so low. Don't worry about it. No pun intended, the bar so low.
Yeah.
You always have a home here at the pub, Pat. You could always come back and talk to us. We'll let you in.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that. I always will.
Guys, have a great night. We will talk to you soon. I want to thank. We did get another couple of iTunes reviews. I'm stuttering again. But thanks for the iTunes reviews. Please go over and leave us some more. We really appreciate that. I know Pat ain't done it for us yet, but it's okay.
No, time out. You're not admitting that. That's so not true. I absolutely.
I know, buddy. You're too good to us. But that's what we joke because we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're good to us, Pat. But yeah, please go leave us a review on iTunes. We want to hope everybody's having a very Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you guys real soon. Later. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.